Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Rapture Centering Church. Centric Church. This is Michelle hosting tonight. Normally I host in the morning when we had the morning service, but now that we have went to one service a day, now I am helping to host one time a week for the evening service. So I just want to say welcome to everyone who is either listening by phone or who is in the chat room. Welcome to Rapture Centric Church, where Jesus is the pastor, and we are just here to show him off and show what he is doing in our lives and just how great he is, talk about how awesome he is while we wait for his very, very soon return. So I want to welcome Gemma, and we have a guest. Let's see, Deborah just popped in. Hi, Deborah. Chris Slaughter, hi. Nick Hari, hi, Nick. And Alana and Rosemary, and we have Jerry and we have Rhea. Hi, welcome. And let's see, we have a couple callers. I will unmute you in a little bit here. Just want to say happy Translation Day to everyone. Yes, come Lord Jesus. Yeah, I just want to talk about what's going, how the Lord is working in my life right now. If you haven't heard, I was in a car accident on Sunday, and basically I pulled out, and another car was coming, and basically I hit another car, and my car is now totaled. So for the past week, I have been trying to fetch rides from other people and learning to definitely depend on other people and most of all the Lord to help me endure these trials. It definitely could have been a lot worse, my accident. If the other driver wouldn't have swerved, he would have hit me in my driver's side door, which meant I probably would have ended up in the hospital. So praise the Lord, I did not get injured, so that is good. Neither did the other person, so thank you, Lord, for your protection. And yeah, definitely the. But of course, there's all this mess with the insurance company, and the Lord has just been teaching me to take it one day at a time and to rely on Him. Definitely, just to be patient and that. He is always with me, helping me through my trials, and that he has everything under his control. And, yeah, definitely, that's definitely good advice for anyone, no matter what you're going through, because at some point in our lives, we are all going to have to endure a trial. You may be enduring one right now, or you just got out of one, or maybe you will you're just entering into one, but definitely taking it one day at a time is good advice. And also a very biblical advice, because it says not to worry about tomorrow, for today has enough problems of its own. So, and also we may not be here tomorrow. So definitely taking life one day at a time and knowing that the Lord is in control of everything and he has your back. And basically what I'm learning through all of this is just to more depending on the Lord more and letting him get me through the trials day by day and not to think about, oh, no, what am I going to do next week? Because, hey, we may not be here next week. So, yeah, definitely just taking things one day at a time. And let's see. Another topic I want to bring up is about maybe earlier this week or later last week, I had a dream. In my dream, I was all of a sudden I felt like I'm getting ready to be taken up. I just knew the translation was going to occur any second now. And I had this feeling of just kind of, it's hard to describe, but just love and comfort, just overwhelming my body. I only felt this for about maybe 2 or 3 seconds, but it's like I felt this comfort coming into my body. and I knew I was going to be taken up any second now. So, and that was in my dream, not in real life. But, yeah, and I've been thinking about that, and prior to that, I was wondering what it's going to be like right before we're taken up, like in the moments right before we are taken. And so maybe the Lord was showing me through this dream what it will be like. We'll just feel this tremendous peace, and we'll have this knowing. But I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you guys, if the Lord has revealed to you what it will be like in the moments before we are taken. If that has been revealed to you, I'd love to hear about it. And let's see. And also, yes, we are going. We are going. Today is a really good possible rapture date, I think, because Roman was sharing about a week ago that several people on YouTube, or at least three people on YouTube, had dreams where they had a time frame between the 14th and the 21st. Like, that was the time frame. One girl apparently, from what Roman was saying, was walking on a calendar, and it only went from the 14th through the 21st. And other people had a dream similar to that. So, and today's the 20th, and tomorrow is the 21st. So we'll have to see what that brings. But and I think Roman also said that he got the date, the 23rd, which he said on the Hebrew calendar was translated to the 21st. So definitely that lines up. And also tomorrow's the first day of summer. So, yeah, definitely high rapture watch day, and as well as tomorrow. And let's see, I think it was last night, someone brought up that June and July were basically months in which people typically get married, high marriage months. And it got me to thinking that as far as days in which people get married, I think of Saturday as a typical day that people get married, as far as like nowadays. I don't know about historically, but that always makes me get excited whenever Saturday comes up, because it says there'll be eating and drinking and marriage, and people will be giving away in marriage. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but the rapture could likely happen on Saturday, I would think, because a lot of people get married on Saturday, so who knows. Yeah, I'm just also, if anyone else has had any rapture dates that the Lord has revealed to them, one time at work, I actually had a, 6:28 was revealed to me. I was counting out something for work, and it just so happened I was counting out, and it happened like 6/28. So I was like, 6:28, Well, that's around the time of the new moon. So there is that Bible verse that says that blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. So who knows, the rapture, the worldwide rapture could happen around the new moon, just a guess. But, yeah, if anyone has any new rapture dates that the Lord has revealed to them, in addition to today, of course, I would love to hear about them. Let's see. As far as the only news, I haven't really gotten a chance to look at the news too much, but I saw that there was a powerful magnitude 7.2 earthquake that shook central and southern Mexico, and that was today. So the Lord is shaking things up. We are getting ready to leave. Hallelujah. And I guess I'll start unmuting people now. Let's see. We have 317. Who is this?
This is Jerry. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm doing good.
Yeah. It sounds like you're working through your car thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just taking things one day at a time.
Yeah. That's best. Too many different people to make all that happen right away.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me bring on. We have 2818. So let's see. I'm not sure. I think I don't know who
this
they
is
both
Tana.
Are, but
this
Tana,
is Tana.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
And then the other one.
And who's the other 818?
Keith.
Hey, it's me, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Tana. Hi, Keith.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Jerry. I'm Michelle. Keith. Love you guys.
Hey.
Love you too.
I was looking for that 7.2 quake. I didn't see that it occurred today. I didn't see it on the newsquake earthquake feed. That's weird.
Yeah.
An 8.2?
7.2. It says 7.2.
7.2. Sorry. I got distracted.
Yeah. 8.2, Jerry, come on. I didn't see it as for today. It's weird that it wouldn't show up. Do you know when it happened, Michelle?
Let's see. It looks like at 9:30 a.m., which would have been 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
Eastern Daylight Time. So,
how did you see it on the news feed?
It was on Yahoo.com, one of the stories.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Hope to find it. I love anything that 7.2 I'd like to put on my Facebook just because I kind of keep up a lot of people up on the latest stuff on my Facebook. I have a whole bunch of people that like to look at the latest events. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have. Keith, do you have any news you want to share?
Yeah, let me second here. Let me go back and say. It's warm today in Las Vegas, 102 degrees. Yeesh.
Wow.
Tomorrow's going to be 105. Oh, boy. Where are you out there? Okay, end time. Okay, so here it is. Let's see. Okay, so 5.6 in Chile. I've been noticing this. Things are, you know, like I said, Lord told me the troops are not going to be leaving this time. They're going to stay in the Middle East, and Psalm 83 war is going to happen. But I've been watching the events since January 2011. Every day, every hour, all the stuff the Lord tells me to watch. I'm not seeing things ramp up like they are right now. So this is crazy. I mean, there's like the three boys that were kidnapped from Hamas, and Israel's going door to door to find out who kidnapped them. Israel said they're going to launch a full-out attack on Hamas. So that's crazy,
right.
And you've got your ISIS thing going down. there's just a lot of crazy stuff. I just wanted to say I've not seen it ramp up like this. That's why this is, I mean, like, when I see this, I go, whoa, this is a rapture. This is really, really a rapture exit. It's like, wow. Okay, President Obama on Friday announced that he will make a rule that makes legally married gay couples eligible for benefits under the Family and Medical Leave Act in all 50 states. It's amazing how fast they're turning over the gay marriage thing and enacting it in all the states. I almost feel like, in a way, it has to happen in all the states before we go, but it's literally happened by the day, so they're still going fast. Go ahead.
Sorry, Keith, I didn't want to interrupt, but I really think he's the I'm trying to think of somebody else right now, but this whole movement he's got going through the culture right now, it really seems like he's trying to bring a curse on the country.
Yeah, I think he, just to be honest with you, I don't think that Satan has taken over his body yet, but I think he's taken over, he's headed in that direction. You know, I think he is the Antichrist, and he's headed in the direction where he just is purposely doing things to destroy the country, and I agree, it's one of them.
Yeah.
The new Android phones and Windows phones will have a kill switch in them. Google and Microsoft have agreed to include kill switches in the new phones. So the government can just cut your phone off if they want to. The cars are going to have it too, I think in 2016. DHS advisors' anti-American tweet celebrated by ISIS terrorists. Affiliates of the Iraqi terror group ISIS, also known, are praising and potentially recruiting extremists based on controversial tweets by a senior Department of Homeland Security advisor who recently claimed that ISIS is making it over. Okay. Basically, they're just, looks like they're, you know, Facebooking or tweeting some things about this ISIS group. I don't think it's anything important. Let's see. I mean, they're trying to recruit people, basically. So gold surged over 3% for its best day in 8 months on Thursday. I've been watching the gold prices every day, too. I always watch those. The stock market is still at an all-time high, hitting new highs. It pulled back a tiny bit, but the gold has gone up. It's very weird. Like I said, if you look back in history, you'll never see gold hitting highs or gold really high while you see the stock market high. It's never happened. When the economy is bad and people get freaked out, they jump into gold, which is why they're doing right now, because the ISIS scare. But then when the economy is good, they jump into stocks. But it's usually not back and forth like this, where they're both going up, up, up. China's taking all their cash and putting it into gold. So is Russia. Okay, and you know the Lord says that in the day of wrath, silver and gold will be worthless. So there you go. It's going to all be worthless. UN warns Britain of child voodoo. I guess hundreds of children are believed to have been kidnapped in Africa and brought to Britain for brutal voodoo rituals. So that's just really sad. A lot of the stuff that Britain is allowing in their country, Islamic people and different things, is running amok with crime and stuff. top legislative body for the Presbyterian Church voted by a large margin Thursday to recognize gay marriages as Christian in the church constitution, adding language that marriage can be the union of two people, not just a man and a woman. So the Presbyterian Church is okaying gay marriage now, and this picture is two women getting married, lesbians. I mean, the world standards, it sounds really wonderful and it's fair, but God's standards, God doesn't allow it. We follow what the Bible says, and that's what we go by. Flying RoboCop doesn't mean that you hate gay people. I have lots of gay friends. I love them. I would love for them to be close to the Lord and go and be in the rapture, and I pray for them daily. Flying RoboCop is a riot control octocopter with guns and lasers. It looks like an octopus, this RoboCop. It's kind of wild. Got arms. It's got like 10 arms or something like that, and it flies and it shoots things. Lasers. Okay, guns and lasers. White men speaking fluent British English led Al-Shabaab attack in Kenya, leaving 60 people dead. Oh, boy. There's a lot of unrest going on there. Yeah, man, oh, man. Let's see what else. Oh, if China and Japan were to go to war, Kobe, Japan's sixth largest city, would likely be the first attack. Okay. So China's got its eyes on Kobe, if I hope I'm saying that right, as the first attack. British government bans creationism public schools, seen as secular triumph. Okay. And what's being heralded as a secular triumph, the UK government has banned the teaching of creationism, which is God, to create the world, as science in all existing and future academies. Okay, well, whatever. Obama administration cancels regional military exercise due to, this is crazy, due to Uganda's gay sex law. So Uganda doesn't allow gay sex there. You know, they sit against law. So because of that, Obama is not going to do military exercises there. It's just crazy that the gay people in the country are a very small percentage. He's basing all these laws and everything on a small percentage of the, you know, 90% of the people listening in America are not relating to that. So, you know, why would you change all the laws for 10%? Kind of weird. Obama willing to strike ISIS in Iraq and Syria, open to constructive role from Iran. He wants to basically kind of work with Iran. He's allowing Iran to go in right now, but he will work with them if needed to strike ISIS and take them out. The Sunni militants in Iraq have seized a chemical weapons facility that was once part of Saddam Hussein's. So Saddam Hussein had some weapons over there, and then the Sunnis are taking it. I forget if the Sunnis are part of Iraq or Iran. I know everybody knows that, but I'm not familiar. I get confused between the two. but that's the big, you know, big fight always going on there anyway between the Sunnis and that other group. Okay, following the footprints, America has now openly stated they desire to promote lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual as a global effort. Discover how America is on the front lines of this. Okay. A mysterious light spot in Southern California skies. I mean, that's that. Obama's kind of going after race. He's going after the African-American vote. He's going after the gay vote. He's, you know, these are the people he's trying to recruit for the RFID, you know, his whole program, basically, sign on to it. Discover how Israel is the prophetic clock of the countdown. Well, we know that. And, you know, the fig tree, the mystery of the fig tree, when that fig tree drops its leaves, which is interesting because it refers to, like, you know, the rapture at that point, and the fig tree usually drops its leaves in September, which is when the Feast of Trumpets is. So I'm watching that closely as well. two men arrested in Texas on terrorism charges. That was, yeah, and then yesterday, okay, so that's it. That's the news for today. So crazy stuff going on.
All right, well, let's see, and a video on YouTube, I think W77 posted it, but said something about a man in Texas was posting his American flag on a patio or something, and he got in trouble and was told to take it down because it was offensive to the Muslims. I was like, what? So I thought that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that is crazy. That is just crazy. Man, oh, man. Sorry, America. Headed straight downhill.
Yeah.
I think W7.
Jerry, do you have anything?
Well, I think W7 also posted a video maybe today that the Iranians have outed ISIS as being put together by Western powers, including the U.S. So they're saying that they're not going to cooperate with the U.S. to oppose it. They're saying, you know, it's not the thing to do because ISIS is part of the U.S. forces. And I think that is significantly true. And one of the reasons I've thought this for a long time is besides some of the obvious things that we know that go on in our power structure, the ISIS people are always pictured with things over their heads. And if you look closely, you can see that not all of them are Arabic. And the people who seem to be in charge look a lot more like Western, light-colored skin, mercenary-type people. And a while ago, I saw somebody had a headline or a video where sometime in 2012, these ISIS guys were being trained in Jordan by U.S. military, some of them. So it's really convoluted, and it's going to be I just think it's an excuse to get more and more military over there and ramp things up, and in the end, something will trigger and they'll turn on Israel.
Wow, yeah.
Well, but Israel's going crazy with that Hamas thing. I mean, they're actually going to say they want to launch a large-scale aggressive attack to just squash them because they've got those three boys. So, you know, they're going door-to-door. They did find one guy who was in charge of that, who was the leader of Hamas. So, I mean, I feel, you know, because Israel is usually asleep at the wheel. I know we love them, but they're following the Antichrist, and they're asleep at the wheel. They've got people all around them. They believe in Jesus. They just snap out of the dream state they're in. Wake up because, you know, they're going to get attacked. They need to wake up. But they're, you know, they're waiting so long and so long. I mean, they should have taken Iran's nuke site a long time ago, a couple of years ago. They should have took them out at the end of the Bush administration's watch. Any time.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I always say Bush was, you know, he's a lame duck. He was going out of office. It was a couple months left before we had the new president. And everyone says, like, he's going to look the other way because he couldn't do anything anyways, and he was for it anyways. But then they should have gone and attacked. It's like, you know, back then the world would have said, oh, you know, Israel, they're crazy. They just got some vendetta, whatever. But now it's like everybody's like, go ahead, because we'll bomb you back. And I mean, it's just, you know, waited and waited because they trust the American president, who's the Antichrist, and he kept telling them, you know what, we got you covered. Don't worry about Israel, we got you covered. In the meantime, he's hanging out with Iran. I mean, you know, covering their interests as a world nuclear power, watch, you know, part of the group. It's just the whole thing is just, so they, you know, they're not going to have any choice with Hamas. They're going to have to go in. I mean, the whole thing about the world war and the rapture is all based on Israel. Like the Lord says, always tells me, keep your eyes on Israel. Israel has to make the move. When Israel makes the move, that's the domino. They push that first domino down, it all comes down. But until then, you know, but I think at this one with the Hamas thing, I'm thinking that they seem pretty like saying they're going to go in and take them out, you know, so maybe, it sure seems like it's going to happen now, you know.
Yeah, when they started that whole war on terror thing, the overwhelming country that was in charge and financing and directing all of the effects of terror, except for the criminal element that we know is in Western powers, was the Iranians. And if there was going to be a Western war on terror, they should have been attacking Iran at that time, not Iraq.
Exactly. And they another opportunity I thought, which was just prime and ripe for them to attack, was when we had remember when the Syrian conflict was getting a little crazy, and we had all the huge U.S. boats there, you know, these huge mega boats there, all with, you know, equipped military and ready to go. And that would have been the time I would have been like, oh, great, America now will have to defend me, because I'm just going to, you know, Israel should have just gone and attacked Iran, because America would have been forced to defend them because they'd be in the war otherwise, because their ships are all there. You know, that was like a prime time setup right there. And I thought, oh, they blew that one too. They let everybody go back home. Bye. You know?
Yes. You're absolutely right. But, you know, the thing is, as small as Israel is, they're still at least as compromised in their culture as ours is, where government is concerned. And the same forces that are messing with us are messing with their government and their population and all the PR things. And it's so hard, you know, to imagine that, but it's really true. And, in fact,
makes sense.
Corruption in Israeli government is an ongoing public display, actually. And so they, you know, they have people, you know, the criminal element that is in our government is directly tied to a criminal element in theirs. And I'm using that word criminal, you know, a little bit, not euphemistically, but you know what I mean. So they have the same problem over there, and that's why they can't align, because of the politics, which are carefully constructed. They cannot align, and they have a parliamentary type government where the majorities can shift even in less than every 2 years. And as a result, they have these coalitions, and any one coalition can pull out of the ruling group at any time. So if they try to do anything with any, you know, discernment or power, all it takes is one small coalition to pull out and take the majority away, and then they're hamstrung. They can't do anything, and they have to call a general election.
What a mess. I see what you're saying. Gosh, no wonder why. That's a mess.
Yeah, they're tough.
Okay, I'm gonna welcome in a new caller here. We have 713. Welcome.
Hi, this is Debbie Somerset. How are y'all doing?
Hey, Debbie.
Hi. Good. How are you?
Love you. Hi, I love you guys too. I just wanted to be blessed by listening. Right now I'm in my car and I'm en route to an appointment, and I'm really enjoying the conversation that you guys are having. So if it's okay, I'll just mute myself, okay?
Okay. Love you, Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I love y'all too.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Michelle, sure. Someone pops in, just let us know. Who's on the air? Is it me, Jerry, Tana on?
Yeah, you, Jerry, and Tana, and then Debbie.
Yeah. And then who?
You, Keith, Jerry, Tana, and Deborah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jerry.
So they really have a problem in their governments, why they can't do anything effective, and it's sort of like what we're familiar with over here, except it's actually much, much worse.
Do you know, Jerry, when they're getting a new president, or is he going to be on the clock for a while through all this stuff?
Actually, Netanyahu's the prime minister, and he really does hold the power, but they also do have a position of president, and that's this Perez, who's a known, you know, left-winger type who is always allied with the one-world sort of perspectives.
Okay.
There's a guy over there named Lapid, L-A-P-I-D.
Yeah.
And he came out of nowhere, out of the banking industry, and he's got a whole bunch of people from his party who put Netanyahu over the top in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
But he will pull out at any moment if Netanyahu really does anything very damaging to the onslaught of the new One World Order. And, you know,
I heard that the majority of people there feel that they should not trust the U.S., and that for sure they should bomb Iran. That's the majority of the people on the street, you know, the actual people believe that. But yet the government, like you said, they're tongue-tied and all screwed up. But that's what I have read. Over 50% believe, you know, U.S. is screwing them over, lying to them, deceiving them, of course, and that, you know, the U.S. is saying, we're going to protect Iran. We'll stop Iran if they go after you, but in the meantime, just don't do anything. Well, of course, we're not doing anything about that. So
yeah.
That's right. Why the people are like, we need to just go bomb Iran and just stop it. I mean, how long do you wait? Do you wait till they're actually loading they're waving in the camera, hey, here, Israel, we're going to bomb you. We're going to load the missile right now. Oh, wait, you know what? I think they're loading the missile. Wait a minute. Stop the government.
That's right.
We're going to do something. I mean, how long do you wait? Israel's like, we got 60 days. I'm like, so do you wait till the 59th day, or what do you do? I mean, how stupid? If they have a nuclear bomb, are you going to wait till the last minute? I mean, that certainly seems like they seem to think they have this, you know, Netanyahu's always complaining and whining to the world, here's the line, they're over the line, the red line, basically he's trying to get the world to stop Iran.
Right,
because he,
but it won't happen.
But exactly. The world just goes, yeah, whatever, it's not our issue, good luck. You know, see you on the flip side. You know, they don't care.
You know, so I think the public over in Israel is starting to wake up, not unlike people over here and in the Western world are starting to wake up. And that's why he's been able to go after Hamas with these three yeshiva boys who were kidnapped.
Okay.
And the other thing that's interesting a little bit, because these guys, you know, they're, you know, pathological liars in the way they handle their politics, but Abbas, who's the head of the Palestinians and technically the president of both the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, went to Saudi Arabia and then denounced Hamas and the kidnapping.
Wow.
And that, yeah, and Hamas basically controls Gaza, so which is
yes.
near Egypt. So
yes.
That was a major change in the rhetoric. So, you know, you really aren't ever sure exactly.
And it's interesting
because
Saudi Arabia is working with Israel, of all people, you know, just in the fact that they're going to let them – Saudi Arabia will let Israel use their airspace and whatever they need to do in order to attack Iran, because Saudi Arabia hates Iran as well. They want them out. So even though they hate Israel, it's very wild, they still will let them use airspace or what is needed to load the jets and go do it. So, you know, because Iran says the very second they can, they're going to wipe out Israel, and they're going to wipe out those big tanks that you see on the canal that goes up, the major canal there in the Middle East. They're going to, I think the Suez, I forget what it's called, you know, everyone knows the name of that major one, but they're going to, Iran wants to block that, and then they want to turn, which is where all world oil will go through, and then they want to turn around and bomb those big refineries that are holding oil in Saudi Arabia that sit along that canal. So Saudi Arabia is like, oh, no, you don't. You know, Saudi Arabia wants to go and bomb them first. So Israel's got a lot of, you know, they've got them on their side, even though they hate each other as a country. So, you know, no better time than the present. But then you've got Hamas, like you said, talking over there with Egypt. It's, you know, and Saudi, you know, and that part of the world. Some strange stuff going back and forth.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'll mention one thing about Iran. You know, the Saudis are afraid of the Iranians, but they're part of the one world order thing. And then there's this Sunni Islam and Shia Islam, and they're battling each other so that they can get their own Mahdi. But one thing in a practical terms, even though we know there's these other alliances going on about the Iranians, is the Europeans have very deep business ties, which they're not supposed to have, but they've never stopped them with the Iranians. And that is why the Europeans will never, especially the Germans, will never sign on to any significant action against the Iranians. It's because the French and the Germans in particular,
yes.
and
yes.
then illegally several large British and other European firms have very significant financial ties to the Iranians. And as a result, they will never support any action against Iran, and Iran has used that leverage very successfully. But,
wow.
You know, we also know a lot of these things are sort of pre-planned. And so, you know, I think, you know, if you really try to follow all the pieces, it just starts to make your head spin. But it's not good. And the one thing that I think you can see is the noose is continuing to tighten around Israel. And
you also have a lot of these, you know, when I track the stock market, a lot of, you know, Iran and Iraq had a lot of cash, and Saudi Arabia had a lot of cash because they got a lot of oil. A lot of their cash, especially Saudi Arabia, a large portion of Saudi Arabia's cash is in GE stock and IBM and a lot of our big chip companies. So it's a real kind of a weird thing how, you know, we're against them, but we need their oil, but then their free cash is going into our companies, you know, to buy their stock. It's like a really, you know, we don't, in other words, we don't rock the boat too much, you know, and that's how we've always played the game. Oh, we're going to defend them and turn around and defend them, and we really don't hate them too much because we won't, you know, if China's got all their cash in our bonds, you know. They're buying every time the government says we need to print $85 billion more, China's like, let's buy them all. So, you know, China's got buying all our debt, just like buying the 80s. So China's got all our debt. So, you know, if we screw over China will just not pay our debt, but then if they didn't pay our debt, our lights would go out, and then we wouldn't be able to pay them back. It's a screwball. It's a one-world system. It's a one-world system. So if one person screws over one person, then everybody collapses, and that's pretty much why it's going to happen this time.
You know, you mentioned earlier about how unprecedented it is that the gold price is so strong at the same time the stock markets are so high. I'm not a trader or anything. I know a little bit about what's going on, though. And what they're doing is, we know there's been a lot of devaluation of the dollar, which is another word for inflation, right? That's why prices go up. And what they have done is the Fed that controls the money has been, through the government, pumping money into the stock market, and that's what props the price of the stock market up. And then the people who make a profit off of that money that they know is going to flow into the market, they're taking it out and putting it into assets like gold. And I also know some people in different places who either personally investing some money that they have or are run businesses where people with that sort of money come to them to do things for them. And the collectibles market in almost everything, art, automobiles, almost everywhere you look, is going through the roof right now. And we all know that the economy is not very strong. And so...
the economy blows. The economy blows. It's horrible. No matter what anyone says, it's horrific. You know, we've got the government printing money from debt, which China's buying, to put into the stock market, driving it up. We're driving the stock market up with debt money. It's pretty bad. And then Obama tells everybody the economy is doing good, so the average public buy that whole ridiculous story. So they're putting their money in the stock market. So when it collapses, it's going to collapse not only the U.S. government, but the average person's pocketbook as well.
The one other thing about the Chinese, though, is their economy is not very good either, because they're in the first wave ever of entrepreneurialism, and their financial situation isn't much better either. So really, it's like having one company who's near bankruptcy trying to buy another company that's near bankruptcy, and you know, nobody's in a position to compound all their problems.
Well, China was the one country in the world that was driving the world the last 5 years. They were doing the double-digit growth, 10, 11, 12%, you know, growing. But the problem is they're kind of hitting what we did in the 1920s when we had that depression. They're out of control. There's no because China said everything's great, we're just growing, everything's great, we'll make the products and blah. But the problem is that while China is growing, there's no control by the government. So there's a lot of debt and all kinds of scandalous there's no government monitoring the lending practices, and there's a lot of outrageous interest being charged. So in other words, a lot of corruption going on, and that system is going to fall apart.
Exactly. It's a one-party system. How much corruption do you think there is? You know, anyway, there's weaknesses everywhere, and I don't know. Frankly, we know that there's a plan to sort of shove everything out the door and start new with some one world this and one world that. And this is
really kind of all part of it. But if you look at the stock market and the price of gold and the investment decisions people are making, you know, they know the other shoe is going to drop at some point, and we just don't know when. I would have thought it would have happened a long time ago, as long as this has been going on, because this the recent wave of all of this started before W. Bush left office, been ongoing ever since. And
problem in 2008, when everything crashed, all we did was take the biggest companies, you know, Goldman Sachs, and we took some big companies and they just bought out everybody else. So now we're really in a really screwed position, because now we've got like one or two huge banks and one or two huge companies, firms, that when they go bust this time, there's nobody to buy them out, and it's bye-bye. Everything,
right.
The lights go off.
Right. It's an easier story to tell, basically, because, you know, all of this is essentially a PR game, because you have to get the public to buy it. One of the key elements to a really good crime, if you can pull it off, is people not realizing that crime was committed. And so you have to have a good story to tell that's believable. And then people don't ask the most important questions. And that's basically what politics has been about for a really long time, in our country anyway. Keeping people from asking the right questions. And not just any question, but the right questions. And that's why control
influence. That's why right now you have all these bankers and all these people in these high firms committing suicide, right? They're jumping off buildings and all this stuff. I think there was, I don't know how many there are now, at 30 or something, because they know that 2008 is here again, and this time there's no getting out of it, and they know that they're going to be in court, and they're going to throw the book at them and send them to prison. They don't want the family, they don't want to do that, so they're committing suicide ahead of time to their exit plan, and it's happening all over in Europe and everywhere, because they all know it's happening. You know, it's going to hit the fan.
Yep. You know, there is one place where I diverge a little bit from what a lot of people believe they've seen and have been told, and I just, in my heart, and that's basically where this comes from, I know that outside of the indigenous peoples, that this country was populated and founded on the strength of God-fearing people, and that God used the existence of North America, and in particular the United States, to create opportunities for people, including a very comfortable refuge for his Jewish people at very important times. And so as bad as it is, and even though we know that some of the most evil and manipulative people in the world are using our government as possible, I still believe there's a root of Jesus in this land, and I don't think he will let that go unacknowledged. I don't know what form it will take, but most of this evil has been possible because of honest, hardworking people who participated in the system and trusted the system to the extent that they understood it. And I don't think all the work and toil of God-fearing people is going to be completely left unaccounted for when Jesus returns and when he executes his judgment. I still believe that there's going to be a consideration of that, even for this nation. Because the nation's had bad rulers, but somehow or other, I don't see how he can completely forsake that or would want to. I don't think he would want to. And so I think that there's going to be part of his plan, which we don't know, is going to embrace essentially 350 years of God-fearing people embracing him and spreading his message, don't forget,
So as bad as it is, and as bad as
Syria,
it may get.
Yeah, but God's going to unleash his wrath on him. America's the one that he's making an example in the world. That's the reason why he's doing this to America. That's why America's going to be the one that gets hit with all this stuff, because America's being used as the example, like you were for me and you're against me. I just think the way he's going to recognize that of what you're talking about is by just rapturing those people out. I mean, you may be right. Everything God's saying, he said, America was wonderful. America became the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in less than 50 years. The currency of America was the world's currency. And now America's like, screw you, Lord. We don't even know who you are anymore. And then, like, Lord's like, really? Okay. So America, God says, you turn your back on me, I'm turning my back on you. And then he's going to use America as a full example. I mean, America's going to be played, you know, a meteor is going to strike the thing down the middle. The West Coast is being wiped out with the L.A. quake, East Coast with that tsunami. I mean, and then the foreign troops are going to invade it. You got Russian troops and China troops. Those are all the prophecies that are going to happen. Boy, I can't think of a more embarrassment for America to be attacked by, you know, Iranian troops because its grid is down and it can't even turn the lights on because all the electric grid went down from a bomb. And what a mess. I mean, America's going to be just ripped apart. It's very sad. It's very sad.
But, you know,
I think it's sad to the Lord for sure.
Yeah. But Israel, you know, has made a history from the beginning. Almost, of being, you know, corrupt and unfaithful. And he has always preserved a remnant, and for every bad king they had, they didn't have a good king. They had way more bad kings than good kings. But, you know, he found a way after the trouble to reconstitute the nation and bring them back to his law, even including after they completely, which means teaching, even after they completely had forsaken it.
Yeah, but,
so,
you know, Israel had time on their hands. Right now, it's like, you know, like the Lord reminds me, the time, it's at the end of time now. The accountability, you know, it's like, pay the piper. You know, there's accountability at some point for Israel for what they did to the Lord, and there's accountability for America. Israel's going to have most people don't realize this, two-thirds of Israel right now will be slaughtered and killed. That's a fact. Everybody says, oh, God's protecting Israel. He is, but also, if you read in the Bible, it says two-thirds will be wiped out. That's because they turn their back on their listen to the Antichrist. There's a price to pay for that. So there's definitely going to be, you know, definitely going to be a price to pay for the time. The time's done. There's accountability to pay at the price or piper sooner or later. You know, they just don't keep going on and on with what they're doing and, you know, ignoring God and all that. I mean, they turn their back on Jesus and, you know, and then you do have a revival though. So that could be, you know, why is God doing the revival in Israel? Because I think they are his people, like you're saying. You know, he does owe them or want them, you know. So, that's that as well, you know. We don't know how many Americans, how much of the bride is going to come over, right, and go help the 144. So that could be God's way of saying, I'm pulling my people out, you know, and honoring them, and then I'm going to have them go work with my remnant in Israel as the most powerful force in the world to show my glory and show people that, you know what, I exist. So what you're saying definitely could be part of that. You know, it makes sense.
God gave me what I think is an inspired thought a while ago about the 144,000, because, you know, we know there's a biblical definition of it in Revelation, and it's, you know, from the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's like, well, he put in my mind the idea that we know that the Gentile nations are engrafted into Israel. There's a lot more people in the Gentile nations than the nation of Israel. And we are told there's 144,000 numerically out of the Israeli tribes. But he made me realize how many more people he could draw out of the Gentile nations. So everyone who's experienced that they're going to come back as 144,000 or, you know, be a comeback, that could be in addition to the 144,000 Israelis. I cranked the numbers a little bit, and if you take the 144,000 as a proportion of Israel and expand it into the population of the world, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but it's 72 million.
So if every nation on earth supplies an equal proportion of people to evangelize the world, you could see as many 72 million people. Can you imagine that?
Well, so even the math that I came up with, you know, I came up with 144 million being raptured around the world from what different things that I put together. So
it all
makes sense to me.
That 144,000 may just be the tip of the iceberg that sinks, among other things, the New World Order Titanic. And so he, you know, however many he needs, he can multiply out of all of the nations.
Absolutely.
And you know, it could look really amazing. It really could. And so it may not just be 144,000 evangelizing the world. It might be many, many, many more. And an unimaginable number, actually.
Oh, I agree. I personally feel that the 144 will be just as the Bible said. If you look at the tribes, it'll be the Jewish people from those. That's what I, just as the Bible says, I'm following. But I definitely feel, and that's why I talk about the bride being 144. I don't mean that they actually are the 144. They're definitely going to join the 144, which to me is the same darn thing. So, but I definitely agree that, yes,
yeah,
absolutely, 100%, that there's going to be so many people around the world join. It'll be much bigger than the 144, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 144,000 people, that's like, you know, your neighbor in L.A., that's like a little small neighborhood. That's going to, they're going to change the whole world? That's not enough people. You're going to have to, and God's amazing, but you got to have, you know, God's working through us, right? He's not working. He's going to do miracles, but who's he working through, right? Did he say angels were fighting? No, he said he mentioned people. So he's going to have, you know, there's got to be some numbers. Otherwise, it's going to be one person in China, two in Japan, three in North Korea. I mean, that's good luck, you know. You're going to need more than that if you're going to start doing some stuff.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of possibilities that we aren't specifically told about in prophecy. And this was one that he really made me pay attention to. So, you know, the odds are not, the odds are stacked, as we already know, against the forces of evil. And they're going to have more than their hands full. There's no doubt about it. And so the 144, they're going to be very powerful, but I think they may be a type. And they're grouped into the tribes to make sure that all of the Hebrew people. Remember, there's in the New Testament, there's a book of Hebrews. And, I mean, we all know that. But if you read it and the way that it's put together, I kind of think that the title of it is really an address to the Hebrew people. So when in Numbers, they come to Christ, I think they're going to go read that book and will feel it as if it's addressed to them. And so those 12, you know, they will group themselves. They know who they are. I think that's why I thought this Yeshiva boy kidnapping was such a bellwether, such a signal that something is really happening and changing. And I think it's good. It's just one more stage of the process. But they're talking about the garage kids in chat, and you know, we're the garage kids. We're starting, you know, and we have messages to spread. But in the end, God will spread these messages as he sees fit, and people will hear. As we know, like you mentioned, there's a revival in Israel now that's really just beginning. Just beginning.
Yeah, and Netanyahu is supposed to be a Messianic Jew. You know, he's supposed to believe in Jesus, and that's what I've been told, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly has that. Go ahead.
It looks like we have another caller on here. 720, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
720.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
What's going on, brother?
Hi, Nick.
How are you guys doing?
Better that you're on there.
We're doing good.
Yeah, what's rolling with you? What's shaking? What's going down?
Oh, nothing. Just been working a whole bunch and We're short staffed, so I've just been really working overtime from like 5 a.m. to 8 at night. So.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah, it's been pretty intense. Whoa. Happy to get off kind of early today and be on here with you guys, that's for sure.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Great.
Yeah.
Who's on?
Let's see. We have Jerry, Keith, Tana, Deborah, and you, I think, are the only ones on right now.
Right on. Been missing you guys quite a bit.
Hi, Nick. Love you.
It was Tana. Tana, did you want to say something?
No.
We didn't hear Tana talk much today.
Tana, do you have anything to say?
No, I have to work, but I was just saying, you know, in chat people are that Rhea had a dream of a groom lifting the veil of a bride. And then Chris had her vision. She had in a room, enclosed door, celebrating. There were dark clouds outside, and I guess the people in the room were holding a banner that said today. So,
wow.
Interesting
things.
Yeah, that's an amazing, removing the veil, what does that sound like?
Yep. Well, the way it's ramping up, go ahead, Tana. What?
We are getting there.
I had something pretty cool happen to me last night, actually.
Go, Nick.
Oh, yeah?
So, I don't know why, and, you know, I don't get upset about it or anything, but I don't really hear from God when I speak to him. You know, I speak to him all day, every day, but I don't get responses. I very rarely get dreams, but last night I had like a headlamp on and I was reading in the Bible and I looked up in the air and there was these white lights just circling around me in my bed. And it was,
wow.
I don't know, it was pretty amazing.
That is
pretty
amazing.
Cool.
Wow.
Wow, amazing.
So, I would assume they're angels, you know, but
yeah.
I don't
usually
know.
Usually white lights are like orbs, you know. They're usually orbs, and orbs can be good or bad, but if you felt, you know, good about it or you thought it was then it's usually angels. And if you felt the opposite, then it would be opposite. Usually you can just tell by, that's how your discernment, you'll know, you'll either feel freaked out or you'll feel excited and interested. You know, it sounds like angels, though. It's really, really awesome.
What were you reading, Nick?
I was reading Job. For some reason, I just find myself reading it over and over again. I really like it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every time I open the Bible, no matter where I open the Bible these days, the Lord sends me to Job. And I'm like, no, Lord, stop it. Stop it. Because it's like, oh, Job was tested with the health issue. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. No.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I tell
Are you
no.
going through a lot of trials?
Who are you talking to, Michelle?
To Nick. I was wondering if he was going through a lot of trials since that's kind of what Job is about.
Oh, he was. He was.
I mean, yeah, I definitely was, big time. And
oh, okay.
It still leaves me curious about it, you know, and I just feel like I don't know. I just like it. I don't know what to explain. It's a feeling, I guess.
I went through a time when he really drew me to that book. It's okay. Yeah. In the end,
I feel like life is a trial, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Ups and downs and ups
definitely.
And downs and ups and downs. So
yeah, it's kind
it makes
of weird
me understand my past and prepares me for the future, I guess, you know?
And I definitely feel like, you know, it's interesting because when you see like a lukewarm Christian, they're usually not under attack because they're perfectly enjoying the world and having a great old time. So the enemy leaves them alone. But then, you know, kind of running across these different healing ministries and these different Christians when, you know, I'd already known that the church was asleep. I'd already known all that. I didn't have to go to the church to see all that because God already showed me all that. But now I'm kind of going into it by, you know, calling these ministries and seeing them, having them come to my house and pray over me and all this stuff. And it's weird to me to see how it's like, you know, so you've got your lukewarm Christians, but then I've got people coming over to pray for me and, you know, and I can see that they're really close to the Lord and stuff,
it's weird. I don't, they're not under attack like the bride is under. And I was like, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, they just seem like life's pretty darn good to them. And, you know, and I'm like, gosh, we're under so much attack. And it's like, and I just feel like it's because we're the watchmen, you know, and that's kind of what the Lord was showing me, because we are warning people about the rapture. The enemy is trying to shut us up, you know, and I mentioned the rapture to them, and they're not interested or turned off, or, you know, so they're obviously, you know, it's just interesting to see that the bride is under more attack, especially the watchmen that are warning people about the rapture, compared to Christians that are close to God and not warning people, you know, just a higher level of the enemy coming against us because of that, you know, if we never...
They're not a threat to the enemy, we are, so...
Yeah, it's true, you're right, yeah. That is a good point. Yeah, we're hitting them head on. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're not a threat to the enemy. The enemy's not going to... He doesn't care. They're not talking about the rapture. He doesn't care about them. He's worried about the watchers, the messengers, because if they spread the word about the rapture, then everyone's going to start, you know, focusing on that and Jesus, and turning their lives back to Jesus. That's what the enemy doesn't want that. So he's trying to knock out all the messengers and watchers he can.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So, Nick,
chat room is telling Nick hi.
No, what happened?
I was just saying that, yeah.
So, Nick, chat is saying hi to you.
Hello. I'm saying cupcakes to you, Nick, right now. You should be eating them and thanking her.
Yeah, I'm saying cupcakes. Where are my cupcakes, Nick?
So, Nick, are you learning from the Book of Job, or what's? Or have you learned from that book, or are you kind of over that book now and onto another one, or same with that?
No, I'm definitely still learning from it, you know. It inspires me to hear of someone that, you know, has been so stricken and has, and in a way, you know, the people around him were, you know, advising him on to, you know, not give up on God and whatnot, you know, and I just... That kind of represents you guys for me, you know, and I just came into a point where I had all of you guys praising me on and telling me, and I don't know, I just feel like I relate to it quite a bit.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. You know. So.
I know, when I looked on a website, it was they said it was about a year that Job was going through the trials, the illness and stuff before the Lord rescued him, delivered him. So it was about a year. Interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. You know, one of the things about Job is that he didn't understand. You know, the book starts out with an explanation for why he's put in under trials, but Job didn't know what any of that when he was going through all those things. It was only in the end that the blessings came out of it. But he, you know, God didn't say, you know, well, Job, you know, Satan has come and he wants to persecute you because he doesn't believe you're as righteous as I think you are. And, you know, Job was never told that. And it was up to him to show his godly character.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty interesting, too, that it was God who suggested to Satan, to the negative forces, to try their luck on Job.
Yeah, threw him under the bus.
That's not very nice.
But he did protect him in the end, and he blessed, gave him a double blessing.
Yes. So what are you saying, Jerry? You're willing to, you want to go through what Job did to get your double blessing, or what? You in line, or what? In the Job line?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm jackass. I'm not crazy.
Michelle, you wanted to get in that line? You want to get in the Job line, or what's up? You get double blessing, but you got to go through some stuff.
Not really, no. Although this past week has been rather trying, so I think I'm kind of heading in that direction, whether I want to or not.
I think that's the thing. We all have those things, those trials.
Yeah.
The reason we have a Book of Job is to. I mean, how many of us? Probably almost all of us have been drawn to that at some point or another.
Yep. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
You know, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a time when if somebody asked me my favorite book of the Bible as it was, I would have said Job, because I at the time I would have felt like I can relate, but not exactly, but the sense of oppression and the fact that I couldn't explain some of the things that I knew, you know, were supernatural in my experience, and it was like, what in the world is going on, and you know. I think that explains it, you know, very well. And
well, that's why I told the Lord it's my least favorite book. I tell him, he'll keep sending me back there. Like, at least no, Lord, I'm not interested in that book. Let's find something else.
Right.
Well, yeah, because if the end Job gets his blessing, all of his blessings. And
but you know,
not God he ever wanted.
Yeah. You know, we do have an advantage, though, because just like we discussed last night, we do have God in us, and we have authority he didn't have. We have a lot more authority than he did, that he did not have. He had righteousness and God standing on his side, but we have the power of God within us, and we need to make sure we remember that when we are faced with these trials, and if we feel like, you know, evil is coming against us. You know, we need to stand up in our power and righteousness.
Yes, claim that we are in Christ.
Yep.
That's the best way. Best way is to look up on Google, type in who we are in Christ, and print out and read it every day.
But no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Exactly. Donna's good at that stuff. I know, she's right. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That means that the enemy can come at you, but he can't prosper. He can't keep going with it, you know. And a lot of those things are if you claim it. If you don't stand on it, you don't claim who we are in Christ, you don't claim no weapon formed against us will prosper, then it can prosper. You have, you know, those aren't free rides. You have to claim them. You have to know your word. You have to, you know, the enemy is trying to lie to you and fool you and tell you things that are not true. So when you throw truth at him, then he has to come down, he has to back off, you know, and that's just the way it is. But if you don't throw the truth at him, then you'll start believing the lie. He'll convince you of it, the whole thing. You know, you've got to know your word, know what your, you know, what your rights are, basically, in the covenant, you know, which is who we are in Christ, basically.
Right, right. You know, I just Chris asked a question, was Job attacked because he had fear? And I think he was attacked because he was righteous and he was used in the example to defeat Satan's accusations. Because what you were just saying, Keith, is, you know, the devil is, you know, he's called the accuser. And if you feel like you're being accused in your spiritual condition, then take a stand for the Holy Spirit in you and the family that you're in, which is the family of God. And I think Job was attacked because Satan, you know, was desperate to try to find somebody who was godly who would fail the test. It was Satan who was desperate. And
yeah,
God said, you know, if you, you know, well, try Job, you know. And in the end, Satan was defeated because Job would not renounce God or his righteousness. He continued.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've got that book, this best-selling book about the guy that a lot of Christians have gotten that couldn't get healed, got healed, and he lists all the root causes of all the diseases, and the majority of them are fear. So his concept was that like you were saying, Jerry, yeah, he was, you know, the enemy came against him, but this guy is saying that Job was continually attacked because of the fact that he did exercise fear. So whoever said that in the chat room was pretty profound because of the fear, he opened that door, and that was the root of the disease that he did not squash or cast out.
And so it just kept going and going and going. It's interesting that this is just the philosophy of this guy that wrote this best-selling book, is getting a lot of people healed that can't get healed, because he's pulling that root cause out of the disease, which is usually fear, anxiety, and stress are the three that he talks about for most illnesses. Whether it happened in your past or something, those three have to be, you have to pull them out, cast them out, repent of them, and then immediately the healing energy comes in right away, like a boom, and then they're healed, like without even being prayed over, a lot of these people. And there's hundreds of reviews on Amazon for this book as well, from this international bestseller. It's interesting. A lot of people have been healed by reading the book, because there's a chapter on bitterness, resentment, anger, rage. And so I'm just reading that chapter 9 and just letting it, you know, go into my system. And a lot of people get healed because they read it and they go, oh, wait, I had a bitterness in my life at one time or whatever. And then they'll, you know, correct their thinking, and then, bam, immediately the illness will go away. It's very interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe Job, you know, it's an interesting concept that Job could have kept going through that, because of the fact that he was in fear. Well, anybody would have been, but he was, you know, and expressing it, you know, which is a door to the enemy, you know. Because if you're feeling fearful and you're, you know, and believe me, I've been there a million times with health stuff, and if the enemy is trying to put fear in you, you know, you can't express that fear, because then it's just an open door for him to run right over you, you know. No matter how bad things seem, you just have to, like, say, no, these are lies. These are lying symptoms or whatever the enemy's coming against you. Just remember, it's a lie. It's just a lie, you know. Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. You know, I thought went through my mind there about, and now it's not. So, I don't know. Go ahead, Keith, because it'll come back to me.
No, but... Michelle, you got anything to say about that, Sugar?
About the healing?
No, just about, like, the fact that Job was expressing fear, so he was, you know, like, in our trials, we're supposed to be claiming who we are, Christ, and not. It's hard because we get attacked, and, you know, we want to express, you know, all of our problems and what's going on, and then it sometimes feeds the enemy, you know, because we're supposed to be, like, a warrior, and that's the whole dichotomy of the whole thing. We're supposed to be going through... The enemy tries to put bad things on us. All of us are going through different stuff. But we're not supposed to be, like, you know, reminiscing about it. We're not supposed to be, you know, gloating in it. We're not supposed to be, confessing it either, which is just crazy, but it's true. We're supposed to be confessing the opposite. I'm healed, I'm blessed. No weapon forged against me will prosper. You know, all these kinds of things. You know, we're supposed to be coming against it with our words, which is what I've learned all about, you know.
Yeah. You know, Chris just asked a question. She quoted Job as saying, what I have feared has come upon me. So that's why she asked about fear. That's really interesting because, you know, obviously that could open a door. Maybe that's why Satan thought he was a good target, because he did fear, and even in his prosperity, he did chase, well, you know what? He knew his children weren't living righteously the way he was. So I think, you know, if he had fear, it's because, you know, he was the one, he went around blessing and doing sacrifices on behalf of his children who were not living righteously. So I think there was a foundation for his fear in the sense that he knew his children were not protected by the righteousness that he had.
And that's why that guy that wrote that book, Jesus told him, a bunch of people came in to get healed. They were Christians for a long time, and they got prayed over 1,000 times, couldn't get healed. And then he said, Jesus, I'm really mad. Like, what's the deal? Like, these people can't get healed, and I'm going to go back, and I ain't going to do no prayers for you no more. I got to get people healed. This is looking bad. And Jesus told him, I can't heal them. He's like, what do you mean you can't heal them? You're God. Jesus said, they don't have me in all areas of their life. In other words, where that fear was, which is like he says, fear, stress, anxiety, is where God is not. And so it's a blockage to the healing energy. And this is what this whole book is about. That's the block. That's the block, the brick in the wall that is blocking that flow of healing energy. And like he had three women that came up to him that had Alzheimer's, and they said, we've been prayed over a million times, and can you pray for us? He said, it's a waste of time. I'm not going to bother because,
you're not going to get healed probably. Or, I mean, he didn't say that. He just said, if you haven't been healed so far, something's wrong. So I'm not going to bother with it. And they're like, well, can you help us? He's like, yeah, I can help you. And then he asked them a series of questions, and it turns out they had resentment and bitterness, and each one of them had, like, one issue that was kind of big in their life. The second they repented for it, immediately the Alzheimer's left. He didn't have to pray for them. It was gone that second. Bam, healed instantly.
Wow.
Because, yeah, he has examples like that. You know,
we have two new callers on here. We have 914 and 626. You're both on.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, everybody.
914.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing very well. Happy to do it. Who's that?
Hey, Donna. Donna.
Hi, Donna.
I love you.
How's your knee, JoJo?
I need to go get an MRI, but I was at the orthopedic 2 days ago. He said it doesn't look so hot. So, yeah. It's messed up. It's all right.
How are you doing? Yeah?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you feeling okay?
I am doing okay. Spirits are high. I'm feeling real good. God is good. Everything is good.
Michelle, who was the other caller?
Let's see. There was 914 and 626.
626
is Leah. Oh, Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hello.
Hey,
how are you?
Hi, I love you.
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good.
What's going on,
Leah? You have
anything
to share?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Let's see. everything here is okay. I had a dream the other night. It was interesting. Like with my kids, they just, my preschoolers, they just graduated over the weekend, but it was just kind of funny because I had a dream about it after the fact, and I was, like, in a room, and I was, like, setting things up, and I was getting all their little caps and gowns, and all of them are, like, light blue, and so I'm, like, walking around, and I'm gathering them, and then, like, I'm in a room, but it's, like, different. It wasn't, like, where I was originally, and it was, like, it kind of reminded me of, like a church, like there were tables and white tablecloths, and then I was holding the blue gowns, and then on a table there were white gowns instead of like the little light blue ones that they had, and then there were golden crosses like on the table, and all of this pretty golden like jewelry and stuff that had appeared, but it wasn't for like me or anything. It was just for all the little kids. It was just like so pretty and so amazing, and like everything changed, and it was just kind of like we were like in like a church room, which was not where we had all graduation, so it was a pretty cool dream.
Wow. Must mean
so
we're going
mean,
we're going now.
So you think yeah. You think Michelle's a mean? Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Keith?
What were you thinking it means? I wasn't hearing the whole thing. I just was curious what you thought it meant.
You were just curious of what?
I was curious what you thought the dream meant. Because I didn't hear the whole thing. Skip it.
Wow, it was just kind of different. Like, I had another dream, like, last week that was kind of like that. Like, where my kids, it was like me, and I was, like, at work, and I was with my kids, and then it was just, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of this, the other dream that I had, and so we were, like, there, and I was at work, and then I was, like, walking outside. I was walking to my car, and I was talking to this lady. He was, like, a parent, and then, like, my son was trying to help me roll up the window because he was in the car, And then this lady is telling me that, like, this guy, like, this thief had just stolen my wallet. And I was like, what? And then so I looked, and then I turned to go get him. And, like, I tracked him down, and then I stopped him, and then I told him it was okay, like, that, like, he had taken my wallet. It wasn't a big deal. He was holding some stuff. I think it was, like, electronics or something. And then, like, he just smiled, and then he looked up. And then I turned around to see what he was looking at, and then I just seen, like the person in the sky, and they were wearing, like, white, super beautiful, gleaming light, and then I couldn't see their face because it was, like, glowing golden, and then I just looked, and I just, like, threw up my hands, and I was like, I'm ready to go, you know, let's go, and then, like, I remember going up into the sky, and it reminded me of that dream, because, like, everything changed, and everything turned white, so it kind of reminded me of that, and I was with my kids, when whatever was going on, like, things just kept changing, and it kind of revolved around my kids, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow, that's
I love
cool.
You all. Gotta go to work. That's cool. I love you guys. Gotta go to work. Bye.
Love you, Tana.
Bye.
Bye,
Tana.
Bye,
Tana.
Love you. Bye, everybody at 9. Bye, I love you. Yay.
The chat is saying hi to Leah and Joe. So, hello, Leah and Joe from the chat room.
Hi, guys.
Hi, chat. Much love.
And let's see. Chris Slaughter in the chat room is wanting Keith to talk about whether Job was self-righteous or not.
Oh, yeah, self-righteous or not?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think he was, you know. I just think he opened up the, you know, when he spoke of fear, he changed all that. I mean, I think he was about as, I think didn't the Bible say he was self-righteous or something, or I don't know. I think he was about as good as he could get for the time that he lived in, you know, to the point to where he didn't deserve to have it happen to him based on his sinning or lack of sinning or whatever, you know. I just don't like Joker stories, so it's like the worst book for me to read right now. I do. I just hate it. And the Lord always, like, no matter where I open the Bible, he shows me, I'm like, okay, Lord, I really hate that book, so I'm interested in that one. Let's find another one, a better one. Tell you, thank you, whatever.
If I could interject for a second, Job was, it was written that he was the most righteous of his time. And Satan looked down and said, well, you know, look, Lord, you know, Lord said to Satan, look how righteous he is. And he said, well, would he be so righteous if, you know, three times this happened, would he be so righteous if he wasn't so blessed by you? So that's, you know, he said, yes, he would. And that's why, you know, the test became, and, you know, Job passed all the tests. But, yeah, it was written at the time that he was the most righteous of men around at that time, how it was worded.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think it's so much self-righteous. Like, he was
right.
Very humble.
Right.
He wasn't self-righteous.
Okay. I see.
Okay. There was one thing, though, in his arguments with God, they were a little weak.
Okay.
Yeah. And God had some fun with that. And that's one of the places where you can actually see God's sense of humor, even though it's a bit sarcastic, but I can relate. So, but, you know, so some of his arguments sound a bit self-righteous, but in his life, I don't think you could see it. But Keith, you were mentioning that book, and then when people, you know, align themselves better with the right spiritual mindset, when you were talking about that, it made me think that, you know, Job's fear for his family and the fact that they were not living righteously.
Okay.
Maybe he would have been, maybe he wasn't trusting his family's life with God.
Interesting.
In other words,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because he was
God
going around.
God had said to this guy in this book when Jesus told him, Jesus, you know, the guy said, well, wait a minute, how come these people aren't getting healed? And Jesus said, well, I'm not God in all parts of their lives. And he was talking about, like, you know, these are Christians that are close to the Lord. I'm not God in all parts of their lives. So,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
So, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, actually, Chris just put this in the chat, but he was relying on his own righteousness. And, yeah, that's right.
And do you know there is a provision for the head of the family to cover his immediate family with righteousness, and you know and even Jonathan Cleck, he's had these experiences, and his kids are in a state of turmoil because of their mom. And, you know, God has told him, you know, four right for one. In other words, they're with him because of the work he's doing for God. And I think Job probably should have trusted God and the umbrella that God would put over his family because of him. And I think he wasn't doing that. And I think that was the source of his fear. And maybe, you know, maybe he felt responsible because of the way his kids were living. I think he should have trusted his family with God also. And then he wouldn't have had to have fear. Which is hard to do sometimes, I know.
Yeah, we're waiting for our double blessings. I told Lord, we're the bride. Give us our double blessings. Hurry up. We're done with the joke pile.
I don't think we're done with... Yeah, that's proof. We need to come out the other side of the hot dog machine.
Yeah, hello. Come on. Enough is enough.
Well, that's
oh, believe me, I told Lord
thing.
That all the time. I said, we're done. Just get us out of here. Enough is enough. Let's go. Let's roll.
That's another good thing about the book of Job and why it can be an encouraging story. I mean, you think your life's hard, look at, you know, Job. That's a comparison of, like, you know, how much someone can go through and still be righteous before the Lord. And, it, you know, it can be, instead of being like a bummed out, depressing thing, it can show you, like, wow, like, thank you, Lord, for sparing me for so much. Like, it could be, we could all have it so much worse. We're all talking on our cell phones with our laptop. I mean, we're very blessed. You're very, very blessed. You know, there are members of the bride right now starving in a ditch. So, you know, every time we feel, oh, Lord, I need out of here, like, you know, meditate on how blessed we truly are to be waiting in the comfortable, for lack of a better term, positions that most of us really are in comparison to some of our brothers and sisters around the world.
Right.
That is,
you know,
very
Joe,
true, yeah.
Joe, God, I think, put a thought in my mind where we were talking, and it was about Abraham and Lot. You know, the book of Job, we're not exactly sure from what the time period was. There's some estimates, I think. But it's, I think, considered to be from before Moses. And the way Job is signaled out as being righteous, possible that he was the only one on earth at that time that God considered fully righteous?
You know, that's a great point. It really had gotten to that point where, you know, Satan was taunting him, like, who's righteous among these men? And he said, look at Job. Not only is he righteous, but he is so righteous.
Yeah.
Why, you know, Satan made a point to attack, you know, the most righteous. I mean, yeah, this was around the time of, you know, where, again, the dates are, you know, it's questionable, but, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah around that time, things were, you know, not so righteous down in the world, so it was slim picking, you know. That's why it came down to one man. That's why it wasn't Satan. It was like, oh, look at this group, look at, you know, this church here, they're righteous. No, it was like one man, you know, it really had come down to, like, most of the world had turned, which is why, again, it, you know, it can be encouraging why his righteousness meant so much to the Lord.
Well, because what he put in my mind was when Abraham was going, you know, counting down the numbers, you know, would you save Sodom for this number and this number and this number? And finally God cut him off. But, you know, I wonder if Job's righteousness saved the world at that time because there was one.
It's so possible, and that's such a great thought, Jerry. I love it because, remember, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. It was, Lot was saying, you know, please, Lord, let me have a few more days to find just one or two. He said, if you can find just a few righteous people in the city, then yes. And he couldn't. So, I mean, it really had gotten to that where a whole city had, you know, two cities actually had completely, you know, gone, you know, fully off. So, yeah, it was it's probably the darkest time.
It looks like we have another caller on. 951, you're on. 951?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Who is this?
It's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Well, glad you could join us.
Hi. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Is there any way we can make you talk a little, Lisa?
Who is that speaking?
Oh, this is Joe. I'm sorry.
Okay. What do you want me to talk about?
I don't know.
This is my first time listening, so I just came on.
Okay.
Oh, right on. What brought you to this eclectic group of the Lord's loving
Keith.
People? Okay. Oh, great. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Thanks for calling in, Lisa.
How's it going? Yeah, Lisa's part of the Nevada House of Prayer. She's one of the wonderful women over there that pray over people and they come in and just a wonderful person. I told her about this rapture-centric church, and we talked about different things and rapture events and different stuff. So nice to have you, Lisa. Wonderful. Thanks for joining
so
us.
So happy. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But Lisa had mentioned the red blood moons yesterday, and I didn't get time to finish talking with her. We could have talked for another 1,000 years on that alone.
That's great. Yep. We're all brothers and sisters in the same spirit.
Yeah. Now, what were you guys talking about? I know I'm late, too. It's like almost...
Well, earlier we were talking about the Middle East wars and what's going on with how everything's ramping up for, you know, basically everything's ramping up for the rapture to happen. It's all going to hit at one time, and we're going out. And we're talking about the ISIS thing going on, and, of course, Israel going after Hamas over those three boys that were taken, kidnapped or whatever. So, you know, like the Lord told me, those troops are not coming back out. They're going to stay there, and then the rapture is going to happen. The whole thing's going to hit. Like, you usually troops go there, and then they go back home, but this time they're not going to. Everything's just ramping up like never before. We were talking about that earlier, and then we talked about the economy, how it's about ready to collapse, and then that kind of stuff. And then now we're talking about Jerry's favorite book, Job, and all that.
Uh-huh. Well, and everything's in place, too.
Yeah.
You got the monetary system, which is, I believe, the Bitcoin.
Could be.
I don't think it's a Bitcoin, but I think it's interesting that it'll probably play into the collapse part of it all. I mean, it's definitely, I think there's so much corruption going on with Bitcoin at the top that it's going to be the government's already trying to investigate it and pull the rug on it, but I think it's part of the, it's definitely part of the overall, you know, whoever put their money in that's going to get collapsed too, so. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure. I do think, you know, we are in the red blood moons, though, you know, this year, next year. And, you know, Israel's always been at war during the red blood moons. And then every time we have a solar eclipse, we've had the world wars during the time of this kind of stuff. So we've got two solar eclipses coming up. So we should have world wars along with Israel
mm-hmm.
being at war with these red blood moons. So, you know, the stuff's going to roll. We already passed one of them. So we're ripe for all this to happen now, you know, and I expect
mm-hmm.
it to happen during these time when the Lord... And this stuff's not going to happen for another 500 years, so it's very, very important. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jerry was going to share what he was just about to share with us, Lisa, the rapture time and date that he got, so we'd know exactly when it was. So you cut him off, but we'll go ahead. Jerry, please go ahead. Share with us.
Sorry.
Well, we're you know, we're still working on the next couple of days in that time frame that he gave me. In a dream, and I do believe it was strongly for us. So we'll just have to wait and see. I do know Judy's son John was told to focus on the Julian calendar, so we may have to adjust ourselves a little bit. But I did have one other thing about Job. He really put it in my mind when we were finishing there that Satan, the way I look at Satan is he has a lease on the earth. You know, God's the owner, but he's got this lease. And if he can get to a point where there is no righteousness on the earth,
that he can basically successfully accuse everyone of unfaithfulness in some way, that he gets to completely take over. And if, in fact, Job was the only righteous man, fully righteous man on earth at that time, that would explain why he was so interested in trying to persecute him and get him to denounce God. And I think, you know, the rapture and the church leaving and the attempt to cancel any revival on his part may be directly related to the idea that he needs to get rid of righteousness so that he can fully take over the earth. And if he can do that, I think he thinks he can keep it forever. And that, I think, is his ultimate goal.
So
I can't close.
You're going to find some righteous people in the land?
I think they're going to keep multiplying. I think a lot of us believe there is going to be a major revival of some kind.
Yeah.
After the rapture, I think this is, and we know that there's going to be the 144,000, and they will be evangelizing, and they will be operating much more like an Old Testament prophet's power, sort of Elijah-like, and so. I think really, he's not quite going to get that opportunity, but we know that he does, evil is not logical or sensible, or it wouldn't have gone against God to begin with.
Okay, I want to welcome Pat just joined us. Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi, guys. Yeah, I'm late. I had to run around and do stuff and people
listening. Pat, honey, we missed
you.
I'm on here now, and I've
got a nice message. Okay. Keith, I was going to tell you, I was going to read that from 278 Pike Kelk.
Please do. Go ahead.
He says, it's good. He says, confusion is not of me. He said, my dear children, I am not the author of confusion, my loves. Yes, my loves, ask questions. But if you are feeling confused and you are hearing or reading something that is confusing to you, come to me and I will lead you to the truth. Answers of my truth. There are things in which you must trust upon me. Answers to some questions that cannot be given in your time. But when you come to these questions, receive my peace. I will give you peace in your mind when you need to leave some questions unanswered and walk in faith. I will create a question in your mind. There is something I want you to work to figure out, but confusion I do not introduce. Do not be fooled. Having a question, pursuing my answer for you is very different than confusion. Confusion breeds fear. Fear is certainly not of me. Some of you are so anxious to understand how end time events will play out that you reach and search for answers from other sources other than from me. Discern my truth, children. Do not let Satan's confusing spirits come upon you. They are very close to truth, but always pervert my truth with their lies. They set out to confuse you and camouflage their lies into pieces of my truth so that as to fool my children. Be careful, my children. Watch for this. Always fall back upon my word. Always fall back upon the peace that I place in your heart. Teachers of Satan's lies will try to confuse and confound my children. They will try to say my miracles are not for this day. They will try to say that I no longer operate the way I once did. They will try to remove the miraculous that comes with communing with me and praying in the Spirit. They will deny my healing power, and they will deny the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. They will try to tell you that you are and will be on your own in the coming battles. That's a good one. They will try to install fear into your hearts through confusion. Stay grounded in my word, my love. Stay grounded in me. The instant you feel fear rise in your spirit, turn to me, and I will fill you with my peace. Do not forget, my children, I've already won not only the battle, but the war. Fight from your position of victory within me, and do not believe Satan's lies. So there you go.
Amen.
Wow,
that was
a good one. Yeah, that was good.
Amen, indeed.
Oh, boy.
And that's something we got to keep in mind at any of our low points. Our God is the beginning and the end, meaning he has already won this battle. He already sees how it played out. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just such a gift for us, knowing we're already victorious. But we need to hang on to that in our low points, because that's when, you know, the opposite of fear isn't, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. And you battle fear, it's just real love, true love, and feeling the Lord's love, there's no possible way to be scared.
Right. Just stay so close to him and just trust that he's, if you say, Jesus, you know, this is confusing me, my dear Savior, or I say, my dear love, you know, please, straighten this out for me or whatever. And he will, because you ask sincerely, because he wants to answer you. It's so simple. We mustn't confuse it. Just for the moment, ask him. Just for the moment, ask.
Pat, you missed it earlier. We were talking about how crazy it's getting in the Middle East. It's out of control. Totally out of control.
Oh, well, Obama, you heard Obama. I guess he said, there isn't anything we can do, because no firepower or anything will cure anything up. Words to that effect. That unless the leadership really gets a hold of things and they make up their mind, there's nothing anyone can do.
It sounds like the Borg on Star Trek, resistance is futile.
Yeah. There's nothing we can do. In the air, on the ground, nothing we can do. I know they sent over 300 advisors, but who knows where that's going to go. They'll probably get killed, too. So
which
he's not doing anything.
Right, which means it's going to, like, well, he doesn't do anything usually anyways. But,
hey, well, so well, that, why should that surprise anybody?
So Israel, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that means Israel is going to be fending for their own, you know, as things get, more troops get surrounding them.
And Iran's going to put their foot into it more, you know. They're just thrilled. They're just thrilled.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
The idea of the president is that the government has got to build up itself and do their own thing and make their own decisions and decide that they want to make things work, because otherwise no one can help them. They're on their own.
And he's not responsible.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Well, Iraq is responsible
for
Iraq. Yeah. Iraq is responsible for Iraq to get their own leadership, you know, in line with what they should be doing to make it a strong and good government, and there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, he always takes a position firmly at the back of the room.
People are being murdered and fleeing
exactly.
and crazy,
exactly.
and there's nobody defending these people, nobody coming to their whatever. You
now,
know?
What's ISIS's plans? What is their plan? Their plan is to go through those Islamic nations?
They want everybody to be whatever they are. What are they, Sunni or Shiite, whatever they are? They want everybody to be what they are.
Okay.
And no division.
Okay.
And all the ones who aren't like them being Christians, or if they're Shiite, all the Sunnis have to go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what they're going
to
do.
They want the caliphate.
And Iran's going to step right in and help them.
They're looking to set up the caliphate, too.
Oh, yes, that. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
In Jerusalem. They want to take over Jerusalem. They think that's theirs. I got news for you. God says no. And it's not going to be pretty what God's going to do to them if they try to, you know, overstep boundaries, really. It's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come
well,
from
that's
God.
Revelation.
Right? No country in the world will have to pick up any arms. God will do it himself.
Well, and I think Iran loves it, too. Right, Iran wants us to be so busy over there in Iraq.
Looking at their chops. They get right into it, and they're a powerful country, so they'll get right into it to make the government be all, I don't know, it's Sunnis against the Shiites. That's really what it is.
Yeah, which is Iraq against Iran, right, mostly. Well, mostly.
The factions inside of Iraq, whoever is Sunni is hating the Shiites, and the one wants to take over the other, and ISIS, I'm not sure. I mean, who can understand any of this nonsense? I mean, it's just so crazy and evil.
But I think Saudi Arabia
evil.
Is against both of them or one of them, right? I think. So you've got Saudi Arabia.
I know. Saudi Arabia doesn't like, and poor Syria, and then poor Israel. I mean, Syria has already got so many problems, and then, you know, ISIS is going to try to, you know, do them too, I suppose, you know.
Well,
they want
Iran
them all to be this one. They want them all to be this one. I don't know whether it's Sunni or Shiite, whichever they are, but they all want it the same. The Shiite and Sunnis are always fighting. This is what it's about, too, you know.
Well, and you got
it's
Ukraine
an internal
and Russia.
Conflict.
Now, do you think...
Again, Russia and China will get involved.
Yeah. Do you think Russia's going to go into Ukraine? No, probably not. I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be... I can see it as the Psalm 83 war after Israel and Iran. Israel takes out Iran, then Iran's going to team up with... you know, Russia and then Syria and then come down, and Turkey and then come down and do the Psalm 83 war and take over, try to take over Israel. You know, that's
okay, what is this? What is this? Maybe Jerry might know this. What is this coming, Daniel 8/Jeremiah 50:46? I reckon it's coming. Yeah. Daniel 8.
Yeah.
Something to do with Daniel 8?
I haven't related Daniel 8 to it, but...
Jeremiah 50:46?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at that earlier today, and I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah. But I don't either. I mean, I haven't had it. I've been running all afternoon. I haven't had a chance even. But that's what's on. And this guy, Joel Richardson, is taking another look at Daniel's vision in chapter 8. Apparently he has he's a prophet or something. I know he's been on Sid's show.
What is he looking at,
Scott? It's Paul Bentley.
I mean, is he analyzing the days, or what is he analyzing? Just the...
I haven't even gotten into it. The Antichrist spirit is to come from Turkey, since all town cities around Jerusalem have meaning, whereas Istanbul means nothing. Also, in reference to your comment about Pope Francis, he has a pulse on the world. He's very sick too. Apparently, he's canceled all his masses for July. So
but that's interesting,
we don't
guys,
know.
Because if he's the false prophet, he's not going to have a lot of time to work in this.
Oh no,
tribulation.
He's dying probably. He's not, they're bringing up all kinds of charges against him and the queens and thrones of England about child molestation and sacrifice to Satan.
Yeah, but
and they've got all these graves
prophet,
that they've
though.
Uncovered
so,
from 50,000 children. So it's
yeah,
really
but
messed
limited
up.
Time, but if he's supposed to be working in the Great Tribulation, then he's going to have to, it has to happen fast. That's another thing that to me tells me the rapture soon, because if he's the last one, and he's not going to...
Now, even that's being questioned. Okay, so the absolute end. Daniel, now what's Daniel 2:35-45 prophecy was about the final two kingdoms? So I don't really know about this stuff. The ruling
that's
kingdom
Jerry
is the Roman
it.
Empire. Yeah, Daniel 2:35-45 prophecy about the final two kingdoms. Yeah.
Please stay up all night tonight, Jerry. Research. Yeah.
Oh,
up
my
all night
gosh.
Please stay up all
but
night.
I've never
research
heard this
it.
With
you.
Daniel 8 or Jeremiah 50:46. I've heard Ezekiel war or Isaiah 53, but this is Jeremiah 50:46.
Yeah, actually.
Does somebody have a Bible close?
Jeremiah 50. Yeah, I was looking at that as you were speaking, Pat, and
that
is what Paul Bagley talked about today a little bit. And he used... 50:46 is the last verse of Jeremiah 50. It's at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. And I think he was actually making a direct reference, Paul Bagley, that is, to literally Babylon, which is near Baghdad in Iraq.
It's actually a Babylon there, yes.
Yeah. And
a lot of people didn't realize that.
Yeah. But verse 43 says, the king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. All of Jeremiah 50 is basically a kind of a curse on Babylon, or it's a foretelling of the fall of Babylon. And 44 says, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong, but I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her, or who is like me, and who will appoint me the time, and who is that shepherd that will stand before me?
Mm.
And so he's basically, this is basically a challenge of the forces of evil, and the turmoil that's involved. And for example, in verse 40, it mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, and so it will be overthrown. Babylon will be overthrown, and so on.
Mm.
So this in our world, we've got there's more than one Babylon. There's a Babylon that's a city, and there's a Babylon that's Mystery Babylon.
Yes.
And that my
which is debatable,
which is also described as a woman.
Right.
And in my biblical way of thinking, that tells me that Babylon is a kind of religion, and I believe it's the system that is trying to create this one world government. So I don't think it's just the United States. The United States, our leaders are part of it.
Yeah.
But so is the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And others. And so when you mystery, the woman, women represent religion in biblically, prophetically.
Wow.
So I think Mystery Babylon is, and by the way, the word for mystery literally means secret. So, here's a secret society who has a religion that is Babylon. That's what it says to me. That's what it says to me, straight out.
And Daniel 8? I don't know anything about Daniel 8.
Yeah, I want to look about that because actually it's been on my mind to go back over some of Daniel anyway. So I'll try to do that.
Okay, maybe you can give us a teaching tomorrow or something, you know.
I'll see what I can come
on that.
With.
Yeah, that would be great. Because I've never heard of Daniel 8. I've only heard of Psalm. There's a Psalm War. Was it Psalm?
30, Psalm 83.
50, 83
Psalm
83 War.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Isaiah has something in there. Yeah. I don't exactly know where it is on for today. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Daniel 8. That would be interesting to see how this all ties in because it's getting crazy, totally insane. You know.
Yeah.
Everything. It really is. I have peace, but
right.
But my heart is breaking for the ones who are suffering so badly through these brutal, horrible people. I don't know how else to put it. Satan's got them by the throat, and they're demonic. They're backwards. They're antiquated. You know what I'm saying? And they're trying to, and they're destroying and hurting people because of this lie that they believe. You know? Yeah.
Right. Well, you're right, but I really believe we're seeing the time being dramatically shortened from what most people think. So,
that's a large
too much,
major too
fast.
Mercy. And throw Yellowstone in the mix, you know, and you've got a real mess.
Yeah. But we're seeing a large measure of mercy from God even before things get to their worst point. So.
Oh, yeah, till they get to their worst point. You said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Right. The climax.
Oh, Jesus, take us.
Oh, my goodness. He's definitely coming.
Oh, yeah. It's gotten too crazy. There was one video, and they just said it's such a satanic, evil world we live in, and it just, like, hit right on how everyone is feeling that you can't even walk out the door without, you know, fearing you're going to get shot or something or gobbled up by something horrible, you know, that's going to try to attack you, you know, mentally or physically, And these poor countries, everybody's fleeing. Oh, and these ISIS, if you're not exactly what they want you to be, you're dead. The Christians, the opposites, they'll kill you. They just kill you.
It looked to me like it's all virtually random violence, and they just want to create as much fear as possible.
Yeah. Horrible.
Guys, we have 60 seconds left.
Yes. And the bride says, really come.
Right
well,
now,
it's getting nuts out there.
Come
and get us, Lord.
Good.
Love you all.
I'll try to be on board
tomorrow.
Love you.
Thanks,
love you guys.
Michelle. Thanks, Keith. Nice to meet you, Pat.
Thanks, everybody.
Love you all.
Love you, Judy.
And Lisa for calling in. Thank you for calling in, Lisa.
Yes.
Oh, Lisa, yes. Okay. Love you, honey.
Chat room, too.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Love you, Lord.
All right.
See you all in there.
See you in there.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Sooner than later, please.
Yes.
Bye.
Come, Lord Jesus. Okay, night, guys. I'll talk tomorrow. I'll see what else we have to read
tomorrow.
I'll find something. Keith, you find something, send it on. Yeah. Glad to read you guys.
Yeah, you got it. Love you.
Okay. All right. A happy healing night, and everybody hang in there. Boy, what a ride. Thank goodness we have our faith.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Love you all.
Okay. Love you, chat. Love everybody, and we'll talk tomorrow. Okay, Lord Jesus,
all right.
Come get
bye.
Us. All right, honey. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.